What Would Yeshi Do? A podcast dedicated to Yeshi Tsogyal, the mother of Tibetan Buddhism. Today, I had the honor of sitting down with Tibetan Buddhist monk Tashi Sangpo at the International Buddhist Academy here in Kathmandu, Nepal. Tashi is from the Sakya Monastery in Gom, Darjeeling, India. Today we talked about Tibetan Buddhism, meditation, the use of tonka paintings in meditation, Atisha mind training, and of course, Yeshe Tsogyal, the mother of Tibetan Buddhism. And so, without further ado, let's get to that interview, shall we? Welcome to the What Would Yeshe Do podcast. Yeah,
thank you so much.
Yeah. Your name is Tashi.
Yeah, my name is Tashi Sangpo. Yeah, I was born in Darjeeling. Mm-hmm. So it's a small, it's a northern eastern part of India.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hilly area.
That's where the Dalai Lama is near?
Oh, no. Dalai Lama is in Dharamsala.
Okay.
Dharamsala. He exiled from Tibet to Dharamsala. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always like to know, what does your name mean?
Oh, Tashi Sangpo. Tashi, it means prosperity.
Mm.
Sangpo, it means well-hearted.
So did you know at a young age that you wanted to be a monk?
I became a monk when I was 12
years old.
Old.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
So now I'm 36.
Okay. Yeah, 36. You've been doing it for a while.
Yeah. Now it's been almost 24 years.
Wow.
More than 24 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here at IBA?
No. I became a monk in Darjeeling.
Mm-hmm.
There is a monastery called Gom Sakya Guru mm-hmm. Monastery. There is a name of Guru Rinpoche, Guru, mm-hmm. in the middle. Because in our monastery, the main statue is Guru Rinpoche's statue. So mm-hmm. that's why Gom is a place name. Gom Sakya, we are Sakya, Guru Monastery.
Sakya, we're...
Sakya, it means, so we have four sects in Buddhism, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have four sects in Buddhism. Sakya, Gelug, Nyingma, Kagyu.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the Sakya sect.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. What is the difference between that and the other sects?
I think, so we don't have that much differences, but... When the Buddhism is flourishing in Tibet, so at that time the main purpose goal are the same, but the approaches, the way to handle, the way to get, liberation,
mukti,
enlightenment. The process is a little bit different, but the main goal is same. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that much, not much that differences, yeah.
Mm.
So in Buddhism, we call it like method and the, view.
Mm.
There are two parts. The view are the same, but the method is a little bit different. So for example, if you go to, those monasteries like Sakya Monastery, Gelug Monastery, they have like a ritual parts is quite different.
Hmm.
Ritual parts are quite different. So those things are, not the main part is different, but the,
kind of the outward appearance.
Appearance is quite, different.
So which one is the Dalai Lama?
The Dalai Lama is a Gelugpa sect.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was the king of Tibet.
Hmm.
So we don't consider him as a Gelugpa or Gelugpa lamas, but we consider him as a, all Buddhist master.
Mm.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to meet him when I'm in India.
Oh yeah, sure.
If I can get an interview, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe you can try.
That'd be quite an interview.
Maybe you can try. Yeah.
So when you were 12 years old, you became a monk.
Mm.
What are the daily practices?
So daily practice is, so we have to learn Tibetan language first. Mm-hmm. Then after we have to memorize all the, you know, Tibetan like ritual books.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend some time in, you know, Hindi languages, mm-hmm. other languages like Nepali languages. So that's it.
Mm.
So when I joined monastery, so at that time we didn't have English languages.
Mm.
We didn't have English language, just Hindi sometimes and Nepali.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mostly we spend our time in, you know, ritual parts, mm. to memorizing, you know, those things.
Do you do the deep voice?
Like the, yeah, deep voice, mm. and just memorize what is in the text.
Mm.
Maybe after dinner, so maybe around like 6 o'clock, so we have to approach to our teacher and he asked you what you learned today.
Mm.
Yeah, so we
you have to learn every day.
Yeah, we have to learn every day, and we have to give him the, what you call, a test, mm. without looking at your textbook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the what you recite, is that the Vajrayana Sutras?
Yeah, Vajrayana Sutras. So most of them are Vajrayana Sutras. Yeah.
Mm.
So when we grow older in monastery, so at the time the texts are keep changing, you know. So there were 6 months course and 1 year course. Six mm. months, so we have to finish one particular text. Then after we jump into another level. So through this, so in my case, it took me like 8 years to finish my monastery education.
Mm.
So it includes like ritual parts, it includes like Tibetan grammar,
mm-hmm.
and Hindi and Nepali language.
Mm.
Yeah, those areas are very important. In those areas, we learn in monastery life. Yeah.
Other than the Vajrayana Sutras, what else is there?
There is a Vajrayana, and there is also Sutrayana, sutra parts. Yeah, Vajra parts. So most of them are we learned in monastery Vajrayana part. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
just how to perform the symbol, how to perform the fluent. So how do you lead the pujas, and those things are we learned in monastery.
The pujas.
Yeah, pujas. So pujas is actually there are many different kind of pujas. So basically it means to sometimes it purify your negative emotion.
Mm, mm.
Sometimes we perform those puja to generate your own, you know, good karmas,
mm.
to perform especially for those who are in trouble.
Mm.
So there are some specific, you know, what do you call that, pujas, specific pujas. And maybe you know that Tara Puja. Do you know Tara?
Om call, Tara Tutari.
Yeah, Om Tari Tutari Tureswa.
Mm.
So in text, it calls like Chakzal Doma Nyurma Pamo. So it's a green Tara Pujas. So it means we Chakzal, it means we venerate.
Mm.
Dolma, it means her name.
Mm.
So it's a deities called God. Tara Nyurma Pamo. Nyurma, it means very quick,
hmm.
very quick. Pamo, it means, so in general, if you, you know, do puja for her, if you venerate to Tara, Doma, then your every wish, you know, your every dream comes true,
hmm.
very quickly. In, yeah. So that's kind of what you call that belief, you know.
Yeah.
Very flourishing Tibetan community. So this puja is very famous. So this is called like Tara Puja.
Mm.
So this one example. So this is, I mean, so our main focus is in this puja is main focus is your wish will come true, you know. Maybe you can do something better in your future, so that one, maybe that will happen in your life as soon as possible. So that's why we, you know, perform this puja. So this is a particular one reason. And there's also another pujas, you know. So like in Sakya we have Kangso puja. Kangso, we call it in Tibetan Kangso. It's a Mahakala puja. So it's like a dharma protector. So we perform every 29th, according to the Tibetan calendar, every month, once in every month. Is we perform on the 29th, according to the Tibetan calendar. So we especially for to protect the Buddha Dharma wherever it flourish. And yeah, and well-being for others. And yeah, these are the reasons
why
we perform the pujas. Yeah.
That reminds me of Pema Sambhava, the Dharma protectors. They used to be Bun. But he came in with Dorje. And turned them into Dharma protectors. So that's interesting. How many Dharma protectors are there?
So there are every sect has their own Dharma protector. Yeah, we call it like Chökyong. Chökyong. Chö, it means Dharma. Kyong, it means protector. Chökyong. So in Sakya, we have Mahakala.
Interesting look.
And maybe have you been to New Road?
No.
There is one place. There is one temple there.
Okay.
Mahakala temple there. So not only the Buddhism, but also Nepali people, I think Hindu people also go there and venerate this statue. It's a Mahakala statue, black Mahakala statue.
So I assume that when Green Tara grants wishes, they've got to be good wishes.
Good wishes.
Not bad wishes. I want to control that person, Tara. Good karma from the heart, from a good place.
So that's why, you know, in Buddhism, so whether it is Vajrayana or Sutrayana, so first thing is intention is very important, you know. So first we have to think, you know, what you are doing in your life. If you are doing something good for others, then the motivation and intention is very important. So let's say if I give them, you know, if I give a beggar to like $1,000 or whatever it is, but my intention is to make you like fame, or if somebody watches me to give, just give, like show
take
off.
A picture.
Yeah, take pictures.
Giving the money.
Giving
them
money. That one is not, although the physical side, you know.
Yeah.
It's, I think, it's what you call that. It's good. Let's say it's good, but the intention is not so good. So overall, so your karma is not so good.
Right.
Yeah.
that's tricky.
That's very tricky.
That's kind of insidious.
Yeah.
The ego can take disguises.
Disguises.
Look, I'm a holy man.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you use in your practice the Tonka painting?
Yeah. Sure.
To meditate?
To meditate, yeah. Yeah, sure. Because we have so every once we finish our monastery life in past, so we have to go to retreat for at least 45 days. So at that time in Sakya we started our retreat from Vajrapani. You know, do you know the Vajrapani? So Vajrapani specialized to, you know, to what do you call that? To purify your own bad, you know, karma, and makes you more energized to practice Buddhism, and not to, you know, what do you call that, obstacle in future, not obstacle to continue your study on Buddhism.
Interesting.
So yeah, this god is called Vajrapani. So we met, we take retreat for 45 days. So this is the first retreat in Sakya sect. Mm. We started from retreat from this. Then after we have so many retreats, like 6 month retreats, Vajrayogini, 6 month retreat. Then after three years retreat. So there are so many retreats. So at that time we use, you know, the Thangha. Mm. So we have to memorize. Either we have to look at those Thanghas, you know, like for example, Vajrapani. And in the text, it says he has like Dorje, and he has like, what do you call that, sword and fire, eyes is like that, and the posture, everything on the text.
Beard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not beard.
Not the beard.
Not beard. Behind his, you know, head is a fire.
Mm.
Fire. So, when we
he represent the Dorje?
Yeah, yeah, Dorje, yeah. Mm. He has this kind of Dorje. His posture is like that. Mm. Yeah, Vajrapani, yeah. Mm. Posture is like Guru Mahesh, like Guru Mahesh. Right? Mm. Like, then after, we recite those, you know, qualities, what he possesses in his body. Then after, we look at those, you know, Thangas. For us, you know, for ordinary monk, it's very, very helpful to look at the pictures and just meditate and just think. And through this way, you know, do you know the Vipassana, Shamatha and Vipassana?
I know Vipassana meditation.
Yeah, Vipassana and Shamatha. So in this meditation, you know, we call it in Tibetan Shine and Lakthong.
Mm.
So it's especially this meditation makes you, you know, better in concentration.
Mm.
So whenever you think of, or whenever your brain, whenever your mind is working, so at the same time, so many things are going on. So you lose your concentration in a moment. So Shine, I think Shamatha, it helps you to, you know, it helps you to make you more, what do you call that, stay on, not lose your concentration.
Right.
It makes you better.
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, at that time, so the my main point is at that time we need a picture.
Mm.
So
just stay.
whatever it is, either it is your family picture or your mother, dad and mom or whoever else, but you just have on the table in front of you, and just you look at that picture and try to hold your, what do you call, your mind not to go away from this picture.
Mm.
So this practice is in Shamatha. Yeah, so slowly we can develop, we can enhance our concentration and to, what do you call that, control your mind. Not to, you know, not to, what do you call that, roam?
Yeah.
Not to roam, or not to, yeah, go around.
Wander.
Wander.
So sometimes the Thangha is used?
Yeah. Hmm. So at that time we can use also Thangha. Hmm. You know, so, and let's say, if I'm really devoted towards the His Holiness, the Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, you can use his picture.
Mm.
If you really love your mom or dad, whoever else, so you can put it then, you know, pictures in front of you. Mm. So there is no, yeah, any specific, what do you call that, pictures.
Mm.
So, but we need pictures, but we don't have a specific one. But some guru says, you know, do you know, Kenshin Abhi Rinpoche, founder of this institute.
Hmm.
So he said that at the time, maybe you can use blue color, you know, like leaf or blue color things. Mm. It makes you more, what do you call that?
Calm.
Calm, and it makes you more concentration. It's blue. Like that. Yeah, it's blue. Yeah.
I remember a story. My father and my mother both passed away. Mm. My father was teaching my mother about Tibetan Buddhism, and he had her with the Dorje concentrating like this. Mm. And while she was looking through a book, and she got to a picture of the Dalai Lama, and she thought, he has a very kind face, and lightning went through into her head, threw it across the room. It's got a very powerful experience with that. I have some friends who paint Tonka, and they were telling me about the different ones. Mm. There's the wheel of samsara, and the gods, the demigods, man, animals, hungry ghosts, and those in the hells. And it reminded me of, I forget who said it, but someone said that good karma is a gold chain, bad karma is an iron chain, but they're both chains. So you can be at this part of the wheel of samsara, but you're still on the wheel of samsara, even if you're a god.
Sure.
It's interesting.
Yeah, interesting part, yeah.
And Avalokiteshvara, am I saying it right? Looking at the all six of them, feeling compassion, had a tear.
Tears, yeah,
and
comes
that
out.
Was Tara.
Yeah, that was Tara, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Makes sense.
I've
heard that Yeshi Tsogyal, the one who I dedicate this podcast to, is a manifestation of Tara. What do you know about Yeshi Tsogyal?
Yeshi Tsogyal, I read one book about Yeshi Tsogyal. I think very interesting one. He performed such a miraculous, you know, what do you call that? So at that time, so there are so many dharmas, let's say enemy, you know, who wants to destroy. Who wants to destroy the dharma, dharma in Buddhism. So at that time, Yeshi Tsogyal, he performed in such a place that all the demons, you know, doesn't want to harm them, but he tried to subdue them and put it on Dorje and bind them and just put it in one cave for maybe 2 or 3 years. So those things
interesting. Is the cave around here?
I think it's somewhere
In Tibet.
In Tibet.
Very interesting.
So long. So that much. This book I read in monastery. So with my teacher. So he told me this story, and we have also one small book about, you know, Guru Rinpoche. So Guru Rinpoche is well known in Tibet, and he's very, what do you call that, great compassionate master, great Indian and compassionate master. And he'd done a lot of things, you know, a lot of good things in Tibet. Without him, I think there is no Vajrayana practice. So that's why he came to Tibet. And
I'll be in Bhutan in February and March.
Oh, wow.
So that's where I guess the Nyingma is more present. So this is where Pemasambhava and Yeshi Tsogyal, she turned into a tiger and flew and landed, and then they built a temple there. Things like that.
Yeah.
So that'll
there
be
are so many sacred places there, in Bhutan, But I've never been there, so I want to go there and visit there. So how long are you learning Buddhism?
Well, I started when I was very young, when I was 5 years old. My father, well, before that, I remember I would be outside playing. I was 4 years old, and I'd hear my dad, with the bells. But then there'd be like a lawnmower, and he'd get all upset because it was distracting him. And when I was very young, my word for the lawnmower was kong. And so I decided, I remember this, I decided that since He would say Om, but he'd be distracted by the lawnmower. I'd say Kung, which was the sound of the lawnmower. So if the lawnmower came, then good. That would help my meditation. And I still remember that. I mean, because it's actually like child's wisdom, you know. And so when, you know, in Tibetan practice, there's the horns and the gongs. And so when I'm meditating, if there's noises outside, someone hammering, there's a truck going by, I accept that all as part of the mandala, as part of the experience that I'm having, rather than trying to shut one thing out and focus on another thing. So it helps with concentration for me.
What do you call it? There is a mind training, atisha mind training. It is called like transforming your adversity into your practice. It is the same case as this. So it's very important, you know, when you meditate and there's so many noise goes there around you, and so at the time the more important thing is you don't get angry or hate, right? So we have we have to think this, and those, as you said, you know, those disturbance, you know, you can use it as your instrument, you know. So you can transform those, you know, those disturbance into your practice. I think this is a good idea.
This makes me think of the wheel of samsara, anger, desire, and ignorance. I desire peace and quiet, and if I don't get it, it makes me angry. It's like right there in the middle of the wheel.
So one yogi, you know, so one yogi wants to, he is very devoted person, and he wants to meditate. He wants to meditate in a whole life. So he started from his room, and he thought that, it's very noisy out there, you know, out there. So I can't meditate on this place. So better I go to a mountain. So it took like almost like 1 month to up there to be in the mountain. So finally he got there and he meditated on the mountain. And at night, you know, there are so many birds. And in the morning, there are so many birds and animals are roaring. And he feels that, now this is not a good place. I think compared to my room, I think room is better than this mountain.
That's funny.
So the important thing is, you know, what do you call that? Isolated place. We call it isolated place. So there are two different kinds of isolated place. One is like place. Second one is, the best one is isolated your mind, you know. It means, so wherever you are, just accustomed with those, you know, things, and to put it into their practice, you know. So my friend, you know, when we were here, so at the time little noise harm him. But usually he lives in India, so he travels so many times in Indian, you know, train. So you can imagine how much noise it is. So in train he sleeps, you know, he sleeps very well, no disturbance. Even there are so many, you know, so noisy and crowd. So when we talk, and he told me that, so here compared to, you know, train, it's nothing. Although, you know, I feel very disturbed here. I think this is not right. So maybe I might feel like, you know, I'm in train when you know, people are, you know, when people are shouting or something happened here.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Do you chant the Lotus Sutra as well, or Lotus just the Vajra Sutra. Yogini or the Vajra Vajrayana?
Yeah, Vajrayana. Lotus Sutra. Meto. We chant, sometimes, you know, we chant, sometimes, like, our sponsors, so they want us to perform those, you know, pujas. So at the time we, at the time we recite or we perform the pujas.
That's interesting. I had a friend back in California, and I don't know which monastery it was, but she stopped going because she felt that there was too much emphasis on the Dharma protectors and not enough on the Dharma. That kind of thing. Like, defend Buddhism. What is Buddhism?
What is Buddhism? That's true. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, first we should know the, you know, what is Buddhism? So what is all about? You know, what is the purpose of Buddhism? And there are three different kind of Buddhism. So there are different mentality, and there are different interest. So we call it ourselves Mahayana.
Mm.
So there is also Theravada. There is also Vajrayana.
Mm.
You know, this we call it three sect.
Mm.
Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana.
Mm.
So, but we have to respect, or we have to, what do you call that, utilize all those, you know, all those ingredients to become a good Buddhism.
Mm.
Without neglecting one of these is hardly good Buddhism.
Mm.
So we have to, you know, accept all those things. And sometimes, you know, the other people interest, maybe they were saying, oh, I'm Hinayana, I'm not Mahayana.
Mm.
I think it's not right.
Right.
I think it's not right. Yeah.
So Hinayana, small vehicle?
A small vehicle, yeah.
And Mahayana, big vehicle.
It's a vehicle.
So that includes everybody.
Yeah.
But Hinayana is just yourself?
Yeah, just yourself. Yeah.
Interesting.
Intending to, you know. So Hinayana, just look after yourself, look after your behavior, outside behavior. So they are not willing to do others' welfare.
Mm.
You know, they are not really associated with others' welfare, but they are very precise in your own business.
Mm.
That's the Hinayana. So, but Mahayana is taking care of all things, in the first place. Mahayana is Mahayana always put others first.
Mm.
And yourself is in the second.
Mm.
The first one is others. So no matter what, you know, what you do for others, first we have to think not yourself, for others.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, that's why, as I told you, the intention, you know, intention in Mahayana is very, very important. It's also in Hinayana also very important. Yeah.
And Vajrayana is the fast path.
Yeah,
the lightning.
It's like a fast food. If you have a good, what do you call that, system, then you can absorb, or you can take it.
Mm.
Otherwise, you know, maybe right after next day, maybe you can get sick.
Mm, so it's like the foundation of the house is Hinayana,
Mahayana,
and then Vajrayana
is
built upon it. Makes sense. So you don't just jump in, say, when you're selfish and you're not really into it, and you go in and you start chanting and you do mandalas.
Yeah.
Like, this is too much.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, this is, some people, you know, they pujas, like, especially, like, I've seen that Malaysian people, they like, you know, like, performing pujas, and they're doing fire pujas, they're really doing, like, sadhanas, you know, they're really, what they found with these pujas, you know,
mm-hmm.
So this is their interest, but they are not really interested in listening Buddha Dharma, you know, Buddha Dharma. So some of them are like foreigners, like Westerners, they really like to hear about Buddhism.
Right.
They don't really interest in, you know, in like performing rituals, and they don't really, they are not really interested in these parts like pujas and these things. So this is their own ability or own choice, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, I told my friend one time, we talked, you know, about those things, and some of them are, you know, criticizing one to another. I think this is not the correct way
right.
to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe doing performing pujas, if they are really interested in those things, maybe slowly, maybe they can come to listen to Buddha Dharma. I think we call it in Tibetan Thesam Gomsum, you know, hearing, contemplation and meditation is very important. Without this, there is no any such practice, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. So those three are very important. So maybe later on, maybe next year, maybe they will come to listen the teaching.
Mm.
Yeah.
A step at a time.
It's take time. Yeah.
So the very core for listeners maybe who stumbled upon this podcast because they're interested in maybe the sounds and smells and sights of Tibetan Buddhism, but they don't know about the core of Buddhism, the Four Noble Truths.
Mm.
I don't know them. Life is suffering.
Mm.
As samsara. Mm. Samsara is dukkha.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's created by clinging.
Clinging, yeah.
By desire and clinging.
Mm.
What are the other three?
And you have to understand the, what do you call that, why you suffer in this samsara, the main cause. And once you understand the cause, then you have to try to abandon the cause. Then you once you do that, for doing this, you have to walk on the path.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you can get the liberation. This is the
I read somewhere that the Dharma King had heard that Pema Sambhava was offering enlightenment without letting go of the defilements. That's more Nyingma.
I think there are so many methods, you know. So that's why method is very important. To sometimes, you know, in Vajrayana they were saying, like, sometimes it says, like, if people show you anger, so you defend with your anger. You know, you defend with your anger, because without showing, you know, without defending, without anger, you cannot tame these people. So that kind of methods,
that's,
you know,
interesting.
Yeah, that
I
kind
see.
Of methods.
So you don't just take it.
But in generally, we never say like this, you know.
Right.
Once you show you the anger, just you opposite, you show the love and compassion. This is general Buddhism. But in particular, in Vajrayana, some practice, you know, maybe we can do this. And also Sakyapandita said, you know, when people try to, you know, when, like, for instance, maybe some people, you know, they don't like Buddhism. They try to come to a monastery and they try to burn this monastery. So at that time, Sakyapandita said, you cannot love or compassion with them. Just don't say, oh, you can burn this monastery. Just protect them, whatever you can do it, you know.
Yeah.
So it means if you want to show them anger, so you can show them anger. But the main core is inside your mind, there is no single anger, but just you act as, you know.
Yeah.
To tame, the reason is to tame that people. So this is the main.
Like a dog.
Like a dog.
They say, sit.
Sit. Yeah.
No, bad dog.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you know Tenzin Dawa.
Tenzin Dawa, yeah.
Yeah, I had a good talk with him.
Yeah.
And I asked him if he would be on the podcast, and he's like, "Oh, I'm shy, but let me give you my friend's number." So did you grow up together?
No.
Oh.
When I was study here, I think in 2000, I came over here in 2008. In October, our class started from October. So I think he came over here 2009, because we had summer course for 4 months, to especially for the foreigners.
I see.
So yeah, So at that time, he came here and study, I think, Buddhism for a month or for 2 months. So at that time, I knew him.
Yeah.
So cool. We became a friend at that time.
Well, thank you, Tenzin, if you're listening, for setting up this interview. So what advice would you have for people who are struggling with the world as it is? There's so many. I have friends back home in California, and a lot of them seem to think that if you're not upset and angry at the world the way it is, then you're doing it wrong. That you should be always depressed and angry because of Donald Trump, you know, and because of it's all the suffering in the world and all the injustice. Mm-hmm. And now they just discovered that there was a slave auction in Libya. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for people who think that they should suffer?
So I think
that's compassion.
Particularly, in this kind of situations, I would like to say, first, think about watch about your anger. If anger gives you pleasure, if anger, you know, settle your what do you call it, dispute, like bad emotion, if gives you a good result, then maybe it's worth to, you know, words to show them anger.
Yeah.
It's worth to, you know, what do you call that? Whatever there is, you know, different kind of emotion, maybe you can show them as your partner show you.
Right.
But, you know, if there is no any fruitful, showing them anger makes you more, you know, more in trouble, then you should think, you know, you should think how to defend those kind of situation. I think showing anger one to another is not a good solution. And just see the anger, absorb the anger, and make yourself kind of reserve and watch carefully. And if it is necessary to reply, maybe you can do it, you know. Otherwise, just, you know, forget the moment, and just forget those situation once you have this kind of disturbance.
Keep the peace inside.
Mm. Just make sure disputes, this kind of disturbance, this kind of bad emotions, never, you know, make your mind low. Never make your mind unpeace.
I think that when it does happen, when anger and sadness and all of these things do disturb our peace, that's natural. But I think that, I guess as like a compass, you know, a compass direction, I think that some people's compass, they think that they're supposed to feel that way, that because the world is bad, they're supposed to feel bad. And so I guess what I think is to get through it, process through it, and be able to, you know, maybe express I'm angry about this, but then find peace again. People think they can't find peace because they're looking at their phones and the phone keeps telling them what Donald Trump is saying on Twitter. And so put the phone down, you know, like this, stop looking at it, you know, like don't look at it first thing in the morning, you know, things like that.
As you said, you know, the samsara is suffering, right? So there is no place, you know, that we can enjoy full of there's no full of 100%, you know, enjoyment.
Yeah.
You know, there is suffering wherever you go.
Right.
But you have to understand the first thing is you have to understand the situation, like anger, you know, why he's showing this anger, you know, what is the reason, you know. Once you understand those anger and emotions, then there is a best way to best chance to reduce your anger, because it shows your anger. Mm. Your partner is showing you anger, so if you show them anger, then this situation
escalates.
Make it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, going worse. I think. I think there is no any, from my point of view, there is no any solution without keeping, the practice of compassion, the practice of loving and kindness. If you memorize or if you remember those things, then maybe it makes you more happier.
Yeah.
It makes you more calm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I think.
Thank you.
I don't know much about these things.
I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me about this. Yeah. So what can you tell me about this?
Dorje. Mm. Oh, this one you can, what do you call it? Do you know the meaning of Dorje?
Lightning and lightning, diamond.
Diamond, right? Mm.
Or thunder. Is it thunder or lightning? Both.
Lightning, maybe. Yeah. So you keep it as a, what do you call that? As a protection or what?
The way I was taught when I was young, we would practice, om and then ah, home three times. And then for the root and feeling, the spine, and I was very young, so I was practicing it kind of from a state of innocence. The energy moving through the body. I didn't know what sex was, so I was I'm grateful that I learned about Kundalini and Tantra before, because a lot of people, they hear about it, they go, oh, I want to get into this, but I was, maybe my dad was like that, I don't know, but he taught me when I was young. And so waking up that root energy and then calming the second chakra, the play and the Dantian point, the furnace, and then working with the ego, the separate self, and then love, universal compassion through the ends of the universe, the pink light, that's why I wear pink, and then hum for communication, listening as well as speaking, and then we would, so that's how I always used it, was for the third eye to focus here and to awaken and connect with that lightning. And then we would say to the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below. We send out our reverent love and compassion. Then om for the all self, the great self. So that's my experience with it. And then I know that at Padmasambhava, my dad would do a warding gesture sometimes. He would, if someone was very angry, he would, and other than that, that's all I really know, other than that Padmasambhava has it, and he threw it and blinded one of the Von deities and made it into a one-eyed Dharma king, or Dharma protector.
Yeah. That's really nice, yeah.
That's so the extent.
You learned all those things from your dad?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's... So he's a... Anyimova practitioner, right?
I believe so. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. He died when I was 15.
15,
so and I'm 39 now. So so I had a long journey through life and then recently decided that I want to bring my focus back to my original practice with my dad. Sure. And so coming here, I would tell people I'm drawn to Tibetan Buddhism and they would say, well, you should start with original Buddhism and then work your way toward that. And I was like, well, I started with Tibetan Buddhism. And so part of that, I translated that as, I need to go to the place where the Buddha was born. So I went to Lumbini and I stood before the marker stone three times and offered everything up and said, I'm everything in my life up to this point, I offer to you. Please be born in me and help me find the way. And so that was a week ago. And here I am.
That's nice. But every practice is not easy. So of course, Vajrayana practice is not so easy. As I told you, it is like fast food, you know.
Mm.
If you have good, what you call that, system, then you can absorb it.
Mm.
If you don't, then it is not going as you think, you know.
Right.
So I think it is also a good idea to start from, you know, what is Buddhism, you know. Maybe you can spend some time in learning those things, you know. What is Buddhism and what are the view in Buddhism, you know. There are four sects, you know. As I told you, the goal are same, you know, there's no different. So everybody, you know, every teachers, every sect, you know,
sect.
Yeah. Sorry.
The sect.
Yeah. So talking about the liberation, you know. So, but the method paths are quite different.
Mm.
So those things are also very important to understand. And yes, and step by step, you know, maybe you can learn step by step. Maybe you can practice.
Mm.
Then I'm sure, you know, then I'm sure your wish and whatever you're looking for in Buddhism, you can get it.
Mm.
Yeah. So we cannot think, you know, results that always, you know, not only in religion parts, but always good things comes later, you know.
Mm.
The bad things come, you know,
yeah,
as soon as possible.
Mm.
So we have to wait and we have to watch carefully. We have to practice carefully. Maybe you have to, you know, look after a good teacher, you know, good Dharma friends, good teacher. You know?
Mm.
You cannot rely just, you know, just what do you call that, teaching Buddhism. Just you have to. So even, you know, even Buddha himself said that, you know. You cannot rely just Buddha said that, Buddha said
oh,
this,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You have to, you know, you have to observe, you have to, examine carefully. Then after you come to the Buddhist, then practice.
Mm.
Through this, your, you know, faith, your devotion is coming naturally and it is very, what do you call that, strong.
Mm.
It's not like, it's not weak. So the faith is also very important, and through this, you know, we can sustain our practice years and years. Otherwise, you know, maybe we lose our, you know, this kind of interest in maybe 2 years or 3 years.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, it's been 34 years, and I'm still interested.
that's very good.
Yeah, I would practice, you know, another thing. I would learn Kabbalah, for instance, with Jewish mysticism.
Mm.
But in the, you know, of the group of people that were studying the Kabbalah, I was the Buddhist. So they'd ask me, well, what is this for? Like, how do you approach this from a Buddhist perspective? So I was always the authority on Buddhism in the room, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't consider myself an authority on Buddhism. And so I taught what I just told you about that my dad taught me.
Oh, yeah.
I taught that to someone that's another yoga teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you should teach this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, first I need to go to Nepal.
Oh,
I need to go to Nepal. Sure. I need to see where the Buddha was born. I need to meet people. I need to get the blessings and
information.
I don't know exactly what. But I know I need to go to Nepal and Tibet and all of that.
Yeah, after this, are you going back?
I'll be going
to home?
After Nepal to Bhutan.
Bhutan, yeah.
Then I'll go to India and do yoga training, more yoga training. Because I teach, but I have my 200-hour training.
Mm.
I've taught for 3 years.
Mm.
So I've considered myself beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to get deeper training and get maybe more than one school.
Mm.
And then after that, Tibet.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have a friend in Western China from America who listens to my podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Hi! and he's offered to let me stay with him.
Mm.
And then from there I can get into Tibet.
Mm.
After that, I have no plan. But eventually I want to go to Joshua Tree. This is what I'm thinking now, in California. Mm-hmm. And I was originally going to open a yoga studio, mm-hmm. but now it's coming into focus and I want to have the Tonka paintings. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to lead a meditation with the Tonka paintings mm-hmm. for people who mm-hmm. want that. Mm-hmm. And my friends that paint the Tonka paintings, I want to help them, their family, by selling their paintings mm-hmm. specifically, because they're not doing so well financially, and I'd like for their children to have all the good opportunities, and they're good people. And so Yeshi Studio, as of now, is the producer of the podcast we're recording. What Would Yeshi Do is the name of it. But eventually Yeshi Studio will be a building with yoga, with Chinese medicine, with hopefully I can, you know, llamas and Tibetan monks that can teach and speak. And then maybe open one here in Nepal, and that my friends the Goyals can help manage, and then see where it goes. See if it grows, then good. If not, okay. You know, but it's something I want to do for myself. I want to have that environment and make it real, and then if people come, good. But also I know myself, and so I'm going to close every August 1st travel. And then open with a party on Halloween, October 31st. And then, you know, and then go all the way around the year again and close. Because it's very hot in the summer where that is. And so that's my plan.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's really good.
After Tibet. But I don't know exactly how long it's going to be before then. I have a friend, two friends in Serbia who want me to visit. So I might be traveling for a while before then. So it's good.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So you, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Here?
No, I'm not really sure because my main monastery, you know, is in Darjeeling. Maybe I'll go back this year.
Mm.
So I've been here for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm almost done. So maybe in January 2018, maybe I'll go back to my monastery.
Mm. Beautiful. So, yeah. When I'm in India, then I can...
Sure. So, I don't have Indian number now.
Oh, that's
maybe
okay.
Maybe I can.
Yeah,
give you
I'll find the monastery. Address.
Yeah, maybe you can come to our monastery.
Yeah.
In Darjeeling.
Yeah. And see you
the
there.
The place is called Gum. Yeah.
What is Gum?
Yeah, the place is called Gum.
Gum.
So I'll give you my email address.
Okay.
Maybe if you like, then maybe you can come.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest on the What Would Yeshi Do podcast.
Yeah. I'm very happy to, you know, share some little knowledge to your podcast, and I feel very fortunate to talk this kind of topics. So maybe I don't think I can help that much, but you know, maybe
I think you
in
can.
Future, I can do some more effective. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, thank you. Do you have any closing thoughts before we? Anything you want to close with?
Yeah. So I would like to say, you know, all the listeners, and this one is, I think, good idea. This, what do you call that? Today's technology is very advanced. So through this, we have to use those technology in a good way.
Yeah.
So this one is very good way, and this broadcast. So you have to, what do you call that? Connect, or you have to. Give your little bit time to listen. Maybe you can learn, not this one, maybe other things, a lot and lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Toshi, for being my guest on the What Would Yeshi Do podcast today. Special thanks to the singing nuns at Tachich Call, who you are listening to right now. And of course, special thanks to you for listening to this podcast. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us, and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Namaste.